The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Or as one translation reads, for the Word of God is a living thing. Welcome, and thank you for joining us here at Church on the North Coast as we listen to another exciting, anointed message from the Word of God. And now, God's messenger for today.
Take your Bible out, please. Take your Bible out, please. And I want you to declare with me a confession. Let's see what happened to my confession. Here it is. I want you to declare a confession with me this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 6 is where we're going to go. But I just want you to declare it out loud, with conviction, with your spirit, man. I want you just to lift up your voice. Are you ready? All right. Say, Father, I declare you give me strength. I declare I'm strong. You increase power to the weak. Therefore, I will be of good courage. For you have made me strong. Lord, you're my strength and my song. You're my salvation. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. I refuse to grow weary or lose heart. I'm not a quitter. I'm a finisher. You like that?
Yes.
All right. For your grace is sufficient for me. I will reap my harvest. I'm strong in you. And in the power of your might. Do you believe that this morning?
Yes.
Give the Lord one more praise. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that with all my heart. Some people say, well, why do you say those things? I mean, what's the big deal? Oh, my goodness, it's a great deal. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12, and I'll show you. This is our text this morning. How many have ever struggled in life with anything at any time? Am I in the right church?
Yes.
All right, so you guys relate to struggles? Okay, good. Well, I want to share with you a message this morning in the next few moments that's going to help us to overcome every struggle in your life. Every struggle. There won't be one struggle that will overcome you, but you will overcome it. All right? Want me to go on? All right. Look at verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. Now you say, why do we make those confessions every Sunday and every Thursday that we gather? Because the scripture said, make a good profession before many witnesses. And I believe what you say is what you'll see. What you confess is what you'll possess. And so we want to line up our words. We recognize and learned a couple of months ago that our mouth was not created for grumbling and complaining. But our mouth was created for ruling and reigning. I wondered if anybody remembered. Glory to God. Our mouth was created for what? Ruling and reigning. Not for grumbling and complaining. So we recognize that the word out of our mouth is powerful. Now I want you to look at that verse for just a moment. Recognize something. The first word of that verse is fight. You know what that means? That means somebody is trying to encroach upon your life. Somebody's trying to take something away. Someone is resisting your advance. That word in itself tells us that we have to engage. Ladies and gentlemen, passive Christianity has no place in the kingdom of God. You and I have to recognize in the morning when we wake up and we rise up that we're engaged in a battle, that there is a fight. He said, fight the good fight of faith. How many know what a good fight is? It's the one that you win. I mean, if you don't win, it's a bad fight, right? A good fight is the one that you're winning. So he said, I want you to fight the good fight. But what kind of fight is it? Do we fight against flesh and blood? Do we fight against money problems or marital problems? No, no. What kind of fight is it? He said, it's a fight of faith. It's an open book test. It's right there. You can help along. Come on, just read it. Let's deal with this morning. It's a fight of faith. So now I realize that I have to engage in this resistance, but I do so with my faith. It is a fight of faith. A good fight is one that's fought on the level of faith. So we need to engage in the level of faith in our fight. He goes on to tell young Timothy in verse 12. He said, you've been called for this. Can I just help you, young graduates? You've been called for adversity. You've been called for trouble. You've been called for such a time as this. Listen, when things oppose you, that's why you're on the earth. You know, this world is deteriorating. Sin is trying to dominate. The devil is trying to control. And God births children that know his name, like little Haley Joy. She's been birthed for such a time as this, that she will at one day resist the devil, learn how to fight a good fight of faith. She's been planted among the enemy. Do you know that we are plants here on earth? God has strategically placed us geographically in our families, in our situations, that we might be able to fight a good fight of faith, that we might be able to say, not here, devil, not at this time, and not in my family. I'm sorry, you better bark up another tree, because this tree's not bowing. That's what we were called to. Then he goes and tells Timothy in the rest of that verse, he says, and has professed a good profession before many witnesses. We've already talked about our mouth and why it's important that we say what we know the Word has declared about our life. You know, I've often had people say to me over the years, I've been ministering now 30 years, and people say, Pastor, pray for me. We're really struggling in our finances. Or they'll say to me, you know, pray for us. Man, I tell you, we're just struggling in our marriage. Maybe you've said that before as well. But I've learned something about struggles. If you're here struggling today, I've got good news for you. If you're struggling here today, it's proof that you've not yet been conquered. Or otherwise, you'd have just given up. It means you still have an opportunity to be a winner. But it's attitude. Look at somebody and say, it's all about attitude. Ladies and gentlemen, it's all about attitude. Academic excellence, it's all about attitude. You know, anything that we do, anything that we try and attempt in our life, it's all about attitude. See, here's a definition of the word struggle. You want to listen to this? This is awesome. It's a violent effort or a series of efforts to make one's way by violence and to contend with an adversary. You know, that's not the definition that I get in church. When people say, hey, I'm struggling, that's not the definition that they're using. But you know, the true definition of that word means I am making violent efforts. I am making a stand. I have a way that I am going. I am contending with an adversary. See, a lot of us as Christians, we use that term as struggling, meaning I'm basically just surviving. I'm about to go under. Pray for me, Pastor. I'm struggling. Well, let me tell you something. I refuse to pray for you. Oh, come on. I thought you were a pastor. Where's your love? What about your compassion? That's not what Paul said. Paul didn't tell Timothy, who was struggling as a young minister of God and dealing with all kinds of spirits. He didn't say, I'll pray for you. He said, fight the good fight of faith. He said, you were called to this, Timothy. Fill your mouth with the Word of God. I'm going to show you that in the struggle, you're able to overcome if you maintain the right attitude. And I want to have the right attitude today. I want to have an attitude of a winner. I don't want to be a whiner. You see, it's all about how you engage the fight. Are you excited about winning this battle that you're in right now? Do you even think you can win? You know, some people get into a battle and they're defeated before the round is over, before the game is finished. I mean, it's like, oh, there's no way we can beat those guys. I mean, come on, he's 7'2", 350 pounds. Who could beat him? You're already defeated before you go into the engaged battle. Listen to the quote that I found by this gentleman by the name of Samuel Ullman. He said this, years and struggles may wrinkle the skin, but to give up enthusiasm wrinkles the soul. You know, a lot of us are aging before our time. Not on the outside, but on the inside. Because we lack enthusiasm about the battle, about the fight, that which is opposing us. We feel like it's insurmountable. It can't be beat. But how many know that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world? And so we have to recognize, wait a minute, I can win in this battle. As a matter of fact, God's made me to be more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. Wow, I'm a winner. I'm an overcomer. I'm coming out of this thing with my praise on. He goes on to say this, worry, fear, self-distrust, it bows the heart and turns the spirit back to dust. Is your spirit man just dust this morning? Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12, Jesus said, the kingdom of God suffers violence. But then he said this, the violent take it by force. In other words, the kingdom of God suffers violence, meaning there's going to be those oppositions and resistance against you because that's the way this world system is ordered. It is to resist the kingdom of God. It's two kingdoms. We're not in this kingdom of this world. We're not of this world. We're the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, we are clashing. It's like two titans that have engaged in battle. I don't fit in this world system, and neither do you. And that's why we have struggles. But I know something that the devil doesn't yet know, that my kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of which you and I are citizens of, have a Lord, a King who is not who stands on his throne, who is one that has defeated all foes, and he is in your life, in my life, and he backs us up. And you know what? This world cannot bring you to defeat. Your struggle is always for a reason. And let me say this: your struggle is always only for a season. Now, some of you are feeling like, oh man, I've been in this battle for a whole year. Okay, so you've been in a battle for a year. You got 75 good ones left. What are you going to focus on? The 75 good ones you got left or the one that you've been battling with? Recognize it's only for a season, but it's also for a reason. The fact that somebody is trying to steal from you, kill from you, take what you have is indicative of the fact that what you possess is of value. What you have is something that the enemy wants. It must be of great value. Well, I've just got news for you, devil. You can't have it. You can't have my marriage. You can't have my money. You can't have my future. You can't have my health. And you can't have my children. And the devil says, but I want your marriage. And I want your children. And I want your money. And you know what? He's coming after it. This morning you might have woke up and everything is just wonderful. Mr. Bluebird is on your shoulder. You're skipping along life's path and just enjoying your day. That might be you. Probably not, but it might be. And it might be only today that you'll experience that. But if you're like the rest of us, we woke up this morning with not Mr. Bluebird, but a monster out of hell trying to bite our heads off. And we think, Lord, what's going on in my life? What is this all about? Here I'm a Christian. Things are supposed to go better and easier for me now. I'm a man of faith. I believe in God's word. What is all this? The devil says, you've got something, Kayaton, that I want. You've got something of value. You've got something in you that I want, and I'm coming to get it. And Jesus said this, the violent effort or series of efforts to take away. That's what a struggle is. It's contending. But notice this, the word violent in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 12 means this, an overwhelmingly forcible exhibiting intense emotional or mental excitement. The violent take it by force. Those who have a mental exhibit of emotion and excitement and are overwhelmingly in a force that's beyond them, they're the ones that win. Did you know the kingdom of God is a force? That the power of God that's in you is a dynamic? That greater is He that's in you? Listen, we're violent people. We don't stand back and let Him take our stuff. We don't stand back and let Him steal our joy. Let Him mess with our children. Let Him take our marriage down. No, it may come to us, but then we make our way known to the devil. And we said, devil, I want you to know something. I have an anointing. Now listen, people, when they struggle all the time, they'll call me and say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm struggling. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, why would I pray for you? What good is my prayer in your struggle? You're hoping that the Lord will do something? Oh, Lord, please change my wife. She is just terrible as a wife. God, if you'll just move in her heart, help her see how much she should really love me. Do you think that's going to change anything? Some of you do, because you call with those prayer requests. My question is, are you fighting? Fighting? What do you mean fighting? Are you fighting for your marriage? Well, what do you mean? Well, fighting a good fight. In other words, one that you expect to win. How do I do that? Faith. See, immediately when we're engaged, we have to pick up our shield. It's called the shield of faith. You know, Ephesians tells us about the armament of God. And oftentimes I'll see these century-old movies where, you know, the gladiators are fighting and the one guy picks up a shield. He has his spear and has his sword and he strikes and then he holds up his shield to block the offensive. And then he hits it again and he holds up his shield one more time. And you know, God's saying immediately when you're attacked, first thing that comes up is your faith shield. That's the response, not the prayer line. Now, you can get people to agree with you. That's okay. Hey, would you agree with me that as I walk in faith about my marriage, that we're going to see the expected result? Amen. I put myself in agreement with that. But my prayer over your doing nothing will change absolutely nothing. You get what I'm saying? What have we got to the point as church people that we think our little religious prayers change circumstances? Well, I think if we just started praying. No, we just started faithing. Right? Get the shield of faith up there and begin to use the faith. They say, what is faith? Faith is the word of God. So here's what I do. When my marriage isn't where it needs to be, I say, okay, I don't want to call the prayer line. I'm going to find a word. I'm going to find a word that says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I'm going to take that word and use it as my faith shield. I'm not just going to read it or quote it. I'm going to do what violence is defined as. I'm going to take that scripture and here's how I'm going to apply it. I'm going to be overwhelmingly forcible. I'm going to exhibit intense emotion or mental excitement about this scripture coming to pass in my relationship with my wife. Now, I'll agree with you. But until you reach that point, you're already defeated before you even let the first blow go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a fight of faith. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 12. Fight, therefore, the good fight of faith. So I recognize that the enemy is coming after me, that you are in a struggle. But let me tell you something. That struggle is only for a season. It's only for a season. You're going to get through this. You're going to move on, and there will be other struggles. The one you're in now, it's old stuff. It might just be preparing you for the next one. You know, sometimes people say, I'm the heavyweight champion of the world, but I'm not going to fight any of the contenders. Did you know you'd lose your belt if you don't fight the contender? How many know that? You have to fight so many fights in order to maintain the championship. So as a contender comes up and says, I want to fight you, I'm in the top 10, I'm the next in line, and I want to fight, and you say no, they're going to strip you of your title, of your crown. Let me tell you, whether you want to fight or not, Christian, you're going into the ring. You're going into the ring. You're going to be in the battle. Say, well, I don't want to fight, Pastor, pray for me. Sorry, you signed up for this, I didn't. You came to the altar and said, Jesus, save my soul. Give me your Holy Spirit. Write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. You felt all that. You wanted to be a Christian. How many wanted to be a Christian? Let me see your hand. How many still want to be one after this sermon? Okay. Maybe after this sermon you're thinking, all right, I want out. I want out now. Whether you want to fight or not, you're going to have to fight. Because you carry the crown. Look at somebody and say, I carry the crown. And because you carry the crown, there is a contender who wants the crown. His name is Satan, Lucifer himself, who thinks he's still on the throne and he's yet been defeated, but he wants to meet you in the next heavyweight championship of the world. And he wants to know if you're punking out. Let's just say that this Sunday morning service is nothing but a training session for your next fight. You know, I don't want to fight. I don't want to have problems. The Bible says that when I get saved, everything's going to be beautiful. I'm not going to have any trouble. I'm not going to have any problems. I'm going to have more money than I want to have because I tithe. And I give offerings. And I pray for pastors. So, sorry. You carry the crown. Act like it. I titled this message, Frown or Crown. You're going to carry one of them. And what you carry will tell your enemy whether or not he can have you for lunch. If we come into church and we're down frowning, oh, woe is me. I've been there. But we wear a crown. There's something about the coronation of a king. I like watching those movies when kings and queens existed on the earth and all that royalty and pomp and all that celebration, and they'd bow down and they'd have that crown put on their head. At that moment, you know what it said? You're the man. You're big dog. You're number one. Big kahuna. You say it, we do it. In other words, I've empowered you with all authority. Woo! And you walk different. Because you got to wear that crown. You got to make sure it doesn't fall off. You got to walk. You got to walk. You walk different. You talk different. But when you wear a frown, you walk different. You talk different. You operate in life different. Ladies and gentlemen, what are you wearing today? A frown or a crown? You see, the devil wants your crown. And just because you're in a battle, just because you're in the trenches today, it's not about defeating debt in your life. It's not even about trying to get your marriage back on track. It's not even all about your children serving the Lord. You say, well, what is it about then? It's about your crown. I don't care who my opponent is. If it's in the NBA Finals, it could be the Cavs. Have LeBron if you want, you're going down. Have Detroit. Have them if you want, you're going down. Have Shaq. I don't care, have Shaq, you're going down. Doesn't matter, because I have a winning attitude. I know that this isn't about the opponent, it's about the ring. It's about the championship. You know, Jesus said this in Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. They came back after going out to pray, sent out by two. Oh, Master, we prayed and demons were subject to us. Whoa, man, we cast out devils. Jesus said, calm down. Don't be excited because demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice in the fact that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's keep the main thing the main thing. He said, you're going to have lots of enemies. You're going to cast out a lot of devils. You're going to have to fight a lot of fights. Just don't give up the crown. Lay hold on what? Eternal life. Have you laid hold on eternal life? See, this is, I may be going through a financial struggle. I may be going through a health struggle. I may be going through a family struggle. But wait a minute, This is bigger than that. And when that's over, there'll be somebody else pounding at the door trying to take my crown. So it doesn't really matter who I'm fighting, when I'm fighting them, or where. Because I've got my sights set on eternal things. Did you know that in Revelation chapter 3, verses 5, 12, and 21, those three verses tell us that only overcomers are the ones that get the blessings of God? But you know what that means if you're an overcomer? That means you had to overcome something. That means you had to overpower or defeat that which was trying to steal, kill, or destroy from you. I like Proverbs 24 and 16. It says, the righteous man falls seven times, but rises again. See, that's where Arnold Schwarzenegger got that line. I'll be back. He got it from the Bible. And seven times there is sort of like what Jesus said to Peter. Forgive 70 times seven. In other words, an unlimited amount of times. A righteous man may fall an unlimited amount of times, but he rises again. It's all about attitude. It's all about getting up in the morning and say, look, I am not going to be defeated, and I am not going to quit. I have got the power of God operating in my life. I realize this battle is only for a season, and it also is for a reason. Because someday the Bible says this, that we're going to take those crowns. You know what we're going to do with them? Lay them at Jesus' feet. Now, I don't know if you've ever experienced this. When I was in high school, this was a difficult thing for me. I graduated 426 out of a class of 600. Not too good, is it? No, it wasn't very good. But I did graduate with a 3.2 grade point average from college with three children working full time. How'd that happen? I got saved. Changes your priorities. But I remember those days when the teacher would talk about homework. And I didn't do it. I never did homework. I thought that was foolish. Why should I do homework? I could just cheat and use yours. I was unsaved. But I remember the teacher asking for homework, and I'm kind of like sliding down in my chair, you know, so I would be unnoticed. And everybody's passing them in, and they're going through it, and they go, Kayton, where's yours? Oh, dog did it. My little brother got it. I just didn't do it. And you feel like as though you're kind of standing out. The other day I was with Paul Jordan. He has a little men's workout thing at 6 o'clock in the morning, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So we're there Friday morning, and we're doing lunges. Yeah, boom, yeah, boom, you know. And he says to all the guys, okay, if you want to use weights, pick up the weights. Well, I heard him say if. You know what that meant? My choice. So I didn't use weights. Every other guy, because it's a macho thing, you know, it's like this macho. It's a man thing. They pick up the weights. I don't care. I've got nothing to prove. Look, I'm 55. I'm skinny. I don't really care. So we're doing the lunges. And Paul looks over at me and he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm doing the lunges. And he looks at my hands with no weights in them. And I said, you said if. But you know what happened? I stood out. I was the only guy without them. Someday, I don't know what day, you're going to be before the Lord. All of us, we're going to have crowns. I hope you have one, because you're going to stand out if you don't. You know, I did three funerals about 2 weeks ago in about 8 days. And I went to my funeral file, and it's thick. I've buried a lot of people. People that used to sit where you're sitting. Isn't that weird? Is that eerie? But guess what? We're all going the same way. Save the coming of the Lord, and if I live long enough, I'll do your funeral. Well, I wouldn't want anybody else to do it, Pastor. Great, I'll do it. No problem. But as I flip through there, I see I keep the obituary of that person. I keep the sermon that I preached. Any special notes that I want to make so I can look back and say, yeah, I've got record of it. And I've got it all the way back to 1979, people that I've buried. And it's a thick file. And I thought, Lord, nobody's escaped this world any other way. And when we get into glory, I don't want to hand Jesus my frown. I want to hand him my crown. How do we do that? Don't hand it off to the devil now. Don't let him take your crown. Don't let him steal it from you. Fight the good fight of faith, whereunto you have been called. This is your purpose and assignment on the earth. And recognize that we are entering into a struggle in life because the devil is doing all he can to steal away the glory that is due Jesus. I don't fight because necessarily I want my marriage to stay intact, although that's my motivation. I even have a higher motivation. I don't love my wife as Christ loves the church just because I want her to bake cookies for me and give me a goodnight kiss. I don't do that because I don't want to get divorced. I don't do that just so she won't run off with another man. I do that because I want my crown. I don't tithe because the church needs my money. I don't tithe because I want to be blessed. All those things are important. I tithe because I don't want the devil taking my crown. See, out on the front of this church, on the bushes, it says, Jesus is Lord. And you may not have read that. May mean nothing to you, but it means everything to me. God gave us a mission. He said to establish the lordship of Jesus Christ in this city, in this region, and in the nations of the earth, until everybody, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Lordship, Adonai, supreme ruler and controller. That's what this ministry is all about. It is lordship. It's not just saviorship. See, a lot of people want him to take him as savior and still control their life. No, it doesn't work that way. If you look in the Bible, it says Lord and Savior. So we understand now that this thing is all about crowning Jesus. I don't want to be there without my homework. I don't want to be in that place where I have forgotten what the main thing is in my walk with God. We were talking about this with the ministers the other day. I don't read my Bible for a sermon every day. I first read my Bible to build my character. Because what would it be if I was working on sermons to build your character and my own would deteriorate? If I can't be a Christian first, I don't deserve to be a minister. I want to please God. I want Him to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You took my word, you honored me, you prayed, you believed me, you walked in faith. Yes, God, that's what I do. Oh, by the way, I also pastor a church. Fight the good fight of faith. Remember our definition of struggle? It means to make one's way. One's way is your strategy when you're in the fight. You know, every team that goes into a game has a strategy to exploit the other's weakness. And if I was in your corner and you were boxing, and between the rounds it wasn't going well, I may come to you and say in that 1 minute break, get back to our strategy. You're moving to his left. That's his strength. Got to move to his right. That's his weakness. Remember, we went over this. Now you get back there and you do it. Sometimes you're like that guy in the corner. Okay. Just give me a drink. Put some ice on my head. Let this thing be over. I'm out of here. You need somebody like me in your corner. You need friends like that in your corner. Don't make excuses for me. Don't make it easy. Don't tell me how well I'm doing and everybody else is going through it too. No, slap me around. Tell me to get back to my strategy. Tell me I'm not walking by faith. Punch me in the gut. Get me back in there and let me win this fight. That's what we need. The Bible says that's the world, flesh, and the devil. Those are our enemies, right? How many know that the devil's already defeated? So now we're down to two. Cool. The devil's already defeated. Why are we blaming him for everything? You know, Christians are always saying, well, the devil's after me, Pastor, pray. No, he's not. He's already defeated. How could he be after you? Well, I don't know. I mean, isn't it devils that try to do that? No, they have to work through something to do that. Notice what he put first, the world. What does Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2 say? Not to be conformed what? To this world. But rather what? Be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Now watch this. I got to finish because we're kind of like going over and all that stuff. But can you give me just like a couple more minutes? Okay, that's 50% of you. The rest of you file out quietly. But anyway. Go to 1 John chapter 4. I'll be done in a minute. I mean, you know, you could sit in front of a ball game for 3 hours. All right, 1 John chapter 4. They say, yeah, but that's more entertaining. 1 John chapter 4. Look at verse 4. You are of God, little children, have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. What is he talking about? He's talking about demons. Gee, I was just kidding. I didn't think people would take me up on it. But he's talking about demons. Demons are operating in a world system. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, there is a world system that the demon can operate through because that's the only way he can defeat your flesh. So when we're conformed to this world, we're defeatable. But when I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind, I'm unbeatable. Because the devil's already been defeated. So what he uses is a philosophy of this world that says, hey, it's all right, guy. I mean, men have needs, don't worry about it. I mean, you could go ahead and call that, you know, get up on that internet and look at all that stuff. It's okay. I mean, you could do all that, you know, that perverted stuff. It's all right. I mean, you know, it's just a release. God made you that way. It's a philosophy of the world. That's all right. You can have a fling now and then. Go ahead and have adultery on your wife. It's okay. As long as she doesn't fight, you're really not hurting anybody. I mean, it's all about sex. It's only sex anyway. It's no big deal. It's a philosophy of the world. Well, when you adopt the world's philosophy, your flesh is empowered. That's why we have to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's why we have to defeat our flesh. It's not the devil that's trying to take you out. It's your lack of transformation in the battle that's taken us out. It's the lack of our trained thinking to be adjusted. So when we get that down, we're winners. I'm going to tell one more story and I quit. Gail McWilliams told us of a story of a super colossal bridge that's built in Honduras by a Japanese engineering firm. She said, this bridge is like a phenomenon. It's one of the marvels of the world that they were able to span this area over this raging river, and they use it as their signature for their company's promotion. They talk to everybody about, hey, look at this. We can do that. We can do anything. Until last year, a hurricane came in. No, the bridge is still standing. It just diverted the river that it was crossing. So tell me about your bridge now. It means absolutely nothing. It has no relevancy. Ladies and gentlemen, in the kingdom of God, we've got to be very careful that we go with the flow of the river. If you and I are holding on to past practices, well, I've defeated it this way before, it's not going to work anymore. The river has moved. You may have a structure, you may have a system that has worked for you, but you know what? In these last days, there are going to be demons released on this earth that are going to be no joke demons. And what you and I have got to do is come up with a strategy of where the river is now. But some of us, what we do is we keep crossing our bridge. We paint our bridge. We still take pictures of our bridge. And everybody else says, why are you up there on the bridge? Why don't you just walk across it with us like this? It's totally irrelevant to what its purpose was. It's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. The flow of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something. The river of God is moving. It's alive. It's living. And I have to stay in touch with it. We've got to know where the flow is going. Thursday night, I preached a message on how to maintain the flow of the Holy Spirit. I wish you all would just come out on Thursday night once in a while. You'd love it. I mean, it's a powerful time. And we talked about how to do that, how to avoid fear at all costs, how to make bold declarations, how to meditate upon the Word, and gave you illustrations out of Acts chapter 10 of Peter getting a word. See, a lot of people get a word on Sunday, but we don't meditate on it. We don't birth life out of it. We don't know how to hover over it like the Holy Spirit does in Genesis 1-2. Peter got a word from God about a vision of animals coming out of a sheet to kill and eat. He said, no, I can't do that. God said, I told you to go kill and eat. But not until he got to verse 19, where he began to revolve this truth around in his mind. That's called meditation. Did he get divine strategies as to how to do it? Remember we said a struggle is when you make your way? Way is strategy. God wants to give us strategies how to get our marriages back. Strategies how to get our children serving God. Strategies how to get our finances back on track. Strategies. And that comes when we recognize that we are already crowned as champions. And no one's taken my crown. Don't let them take it. There is an ultimate purpose for it, and it goes beyond this world. Stand with me, please.
You've been listening to a message that emphasizes the reality and power of God's Word. Again, thank you for listening. If you would like further information on our ministries or other products available, visit us online at www.churchonthenorthcoast.org, or you may call us at 440-960-1100. In the meantime, may God richly bless you, and may His Word be alive in your life.